The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
A lot of times it can be really difficult to pull the trigger and buy a rental property. There's so many different things to think about. There's so many different strategies. There's so many things to think about that could possibly go wrong, that a lot of people just get paralyzed and they don't do anything. And that's exactly what happened to my guest today. He bought a rental property, he rented it out, but it took him 12 years to buy his next property because he was just paralyzed. He just had too many options. But he finally pulled the trigger and he bought a 6-unit building, and things are working out pretty well for him. It hasn't all been smooth sailing. He's had a couple of things go wrong, but he's gotten through it. So we're going to hear his story today. He's got a really good story. So let's take a real quick break. We'll get a word in from our sponsors. We'll come back in 1 minute and we'll meet Andrew Petroline from St. Louis. If you're a do-it-yourself landlord and you're looking for the ultimate online resource to help you better manage your rentals, check out Rentler. They have everything you could possibly need to help you better manage your rental properties, from taking online applications to tenant screenings and online payment processing. They have a special offer just for our listeners. If you sign up for a tenant screening, they'll give you a free year of ACH payment processing. Just reach out to their customer service department after you order. For more information, go to tryrentler.com/Dan. That's TryRentler.com/Dan.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's noradarealestate.com/guide.
Hey, Andrew, welcome to the podcast. So it took you 12 years to buy your second property. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a bit of a journey.
That's crazy. So why don't we first start off talking about your first property? So the first house that you bought was a house that you didn't buy as an investment. It was a house that you bought to live in, but it later turned into an investment.
Yeah. So when I graduated from college, I really wanted to own something, kind of claim my stake. And I bought a condo at the town over from my school, having spent some time paying the debt down a little bit, that I thought, wow, this is there's no reason to sell this.
So you're renting it out, you're making some money on it every month, and you were thinking for a long time, I need to do this again, I need to buy more rental properties. But like, what held you back in that 12-year period? Like, what was stopping you from buying another property?
I'm overly analytical.
Okay.
So I always kind of dancing on the edge of that. I would go to some meetups locally. I'd listen to podcasts. I'd do online research, but couldn't get myself to pull the trigger. I think because there's just too many options out there.
Yeah.
There's too many different ways to do what we do. And I couldn't narrow in on which one was right.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that's tough about that is there's so many different ways to do rentals, and they all work. And at the same time, they all don't work. So it's like you got to just kind of figure out something that works for you and make it work. And I think that's the hardest part. So what put you over the edge? What was it when you got laid off?
Yeah. So that kind of snapped me out of it. In my thinking that, okay, jobs are just too fragile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've spent a lot of time working in smaller companies. And when your livelihood is devoted to one guy's attitude that day. You know, he's just got too much control over your life. And that's always kind of scared me.
Absolutely. And I mean, having one income stream, having a job where you have one income stream, I personally think is very risky. I think you're much better off having multiple streams of income.
And I couldn't agree more, and especially when it's a small business.
Right.
That decision's made by probably one person that you could say the wrong thing to and be out.
Right. Totally.
And so when that did happen, it was actually a systematic layoff. I was actually in a big company at that time. And, it brought all this up again, thinking, all right, I need to be not so focused on just one income stream, but have something else that is mine, that pride of ownership to kind of motivate it. And my wife, who had heard me babbling about this for those 12 years, finally called me out and said, you know what, you need to shut up or do it. And as always, she was right. And so I started to poke at things a little more seriously, reaching out to those contacts I had met through meetups and that. And it's actually pretty weird how I found this building. I was looking at one in the town and didn't know the area. I had to go a couple of towns over to something where the numbers made more sense. Saw a unit being renovated across the street. And just walked in, talked to the guy for a long time, what are tenants like, how easy is it to flip, how many do you have, and finally stopped me because you need to talk to the owner. That's not me. And I'm like, oh, okay. Got his number, learned that this guy, I guess, never slept. He is 73. He's got 75 doors, and he's still working full time. He just kept buying the house next to whatever he owned and ended up having about three whole blocks. And from the experiences of listening to this podcast and others and being focused on cash flow, I knew I wanted multiple units, and that really narrowed down his list. And from the final three, he had a six unit that just had awesome numbers.
Awesome. So tell me, how did the deal come together? How did you decide on a price?
It was kind of tough in that I didn't know the area very well. So I really had to research the rents. I had to learn how true is what he's charging. And what I came to discover is that he was buying properties for a tax write-off. His full-time gig was paying him enough that was his focus. It wasn't for cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And so even at the price he gave me, it was appealing because I really felt I could raise those rents with not a lot of work.
Right. Okay. So it was a six unit building. He's got three tenants in there, and then three of the units are vacant.
Yeah.
So why were they vacant? Was it just that he didn't have that motivation to make money off this building?
That's my guess.
Okay.
You know, because I inherited it in the beginning of December. So I busted my butt, flipped the first unit so I could push photos out there really quick, only to be trying and renting this at Christmas.
Yeah, that's a tough time of year. Yeah.
So then January landed the worst winter I could remember in my life.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. And we'll get to the winter, because I think this is an interesting story of what you've had to deal with in the first year of owning this property. Before we get there, tell me about buying the property. So you took equity out of your first condo and you use that as your down payment for this property?
Yeah. So I'm figuring out how much of the nest egg I've been saving over that 12-year stalemate was going to be. When the banker actually proposed to me, you've got this other condo, and at this point it's paid out. So I own it free and clear. She said, I was thinking I was going to take out the amount needed as the down payment from its equity. And then I have a regular commercial loan for the six unit for the remainder of it.
Okay. Now, what was it like getting approved for the commercial mortgage? Was that difficult?
Surprisingly easy. So this was my first commercial loan, and it was way easier than the personal loan I took out for the house I live in now. they really just wanted to know, what are the numbers from the building? How does it perform on its own?
Okay.
What do the rents bring in versus the overhead? And it felt like once that made sense, and I actually kind of went through showing, here's why I think these rents are low even, that after that, they then looked at me personally. What's my credit score? What's my LLC structure? That kind of thing.
Okay. So talk to me about what it was like when you closed on the property. So you close on the mortgage, or you close on the property. You've got 30 days before your first mortgage payment is due. And you've got three rent checks that are going to be coming in, but you've got three units that are vacant that you need to fix up. So how much of the mortgage was covered by those three units?
All of it.
All of it. Okay. So you know you've got the mortgage covered, but you're going to have to come up with the cash to fix up the vacant units.
Yeah. So awesome. Pretty much he was renting these units out for $500 apiece.
Okay.
The mortgage came out to be a little over $800 because of the cash part of what I put in and the lien part of what I put in. It brought down the loan amount quite a bit.
Okay, awesome.
And so the paper, the math I did when I was looking at this was insurance, mortgage, dumpster. At three units, I'm breaking even.
Okay, that's awesome. So it's just your profit. That you're not going to be making any cash flow on it, but yeah, you've got your basic expenses covered. So that's pretty awesome.
Well, Ed, but then the freak out of repairs, pipes bursting because they're frozen.
Yeah. So tell me about this. So this is this past winter. It was a really rough winter. And so did you have the pipes freeze for the entire building?
For two of them.
Wow.
Two of the three that were lived in.
Okay. Wow.
So it was the worst winter I can remember in my life. This cold snap that took us to zero or worse for longer than I've ever known stressed everything to the point to where even if the pipes broke, you couldn't rent equipment to dig out the dirt and fix it. The dirt was so hard that it was breaking any type of rental digging equipment, and they just quit renting.
Wow.
There was nothing you could do. We literally just had to wait it out.
So you waited it out, you wait for the pipes to thaw, and then what happened? Was there a lot of damage?
It was not terrible because the basement is unfinished.
Okay. Awesome.
And it's just old exposed brick, dirt floors. So it all got soaked up. The damage was not terrible, but it was running a torpedo heater 24/7 to keep it from freezing again.
Wow.
Then a hardwired electrical heater off the breaker box to do the same because I had me or someone from the property management company having to refill the torpedo every 12 hours. And that thing ran nonstop, bleeding me $500 in electricity. It was just such an intense cold.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really bad winter. So, all right. So talk to me about getting the property or the units rented out. So You at first you were trying to show the units yourself, but you found it was difficult. A lot of potential renters were flaking out on you.
Yeah. So I had this thought of to have a little more control and involvement. I wanted to pick the tenants. Maybe I'm OCD, but I wanted to do that and then turn over the rent collection and the maintenance to the property management company because I love doing improvements and hands-on stuff, but I don't like the time-sensitive stuff. Mm-hmm. I just can't. There's too much in my life. So I staged the place to show depth. I put some things on the wall. The photos got me plenty of leads. That was great. But the flake-out rate was crazy. The first time I did it, I had four people that we're supposed to show. And one texted me 10 minutes late and said they'd be there in another 10 minutes. I waited 15 more and said, don't bother.
Yeah.
And after that, I'm like, all right, I can't do this. So I just turned that over to the property management company as well.
How long did it take them to get it leased up?
Once the weather broke, a couple weeks. Start to finish was 2 months.
Okay. Awesome.
But after we got up to 40 degrees, they got people in there in a couple weeks.
Yeah. The winter's a tough time to find tenants. So they got in there. So now things are going great, right? You've got all this extra money coming in. You've already got your mortgage covered from your first three tenants. So it seems like you've been cash flowing pretty good on the property, right?
I have. And I've had a couple blessings pop up. One was backdated HUD checks. I inherited a HUD tenant. And so when that showed up, it helped me catch up from some of the winter maintenance. 3 weeks ago, I had one guy just pop smoke and take off and leave everything behind out of nowhere. Was pretty crazy, but he paid out his lease.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow.
It was.
Did he say what was going on?
I heard him and his girlfriend broke up, and I don't know why, but okay. He could not have an eviction on his record for one reason or another, I believe.
Now, take me back real quick to when you were fixing up the vacant units. Did that cost a lot of money?
It could have. So it was, the big decision was the flooring.
Okay.
I got it down to a cost of about $2,000 to turn a unit. It's 900 square feet to get me to vinyl flooring. Mm-hmm. And so it was, do I eat this now or try and get one more tenant in here and then do it? Because I had bled so much over the winter, I decided I've got to rent it. You know, even if I got to take a bit of a cut with the market rate,
right,
I've got to catch back up.
Right, right.
So I did the minimal stuff. I changed out all the lighting fixtures to something more updated. Because again, the guy I bought it from had it since the 70s. It was surprising how much better the place looked by changing the outlets, not just the covers, but the outlets themselves mm-hmm. to all white paint and changing the golden fixtures to white or kind of a cheap wood knockoff to LED lights to really shone brighter. It turned around a lot better for maybe $200 a unit.
Yeah, it really doesn't take much. I mean, you're right. Updating fixtures, like outlets, you know, little things can really make a big difference.
And I'll say that was $200 a unit with me doing the work.
Okay.
You know, double that if somebody else
right.
was.
So after you've had this success, it seems like things are turned around. It seems like the building's going well now. Do you see yourself doing it again, or do you think you might wait another 12 years to? Yeah.
the 12 years from now, I'll be retired probably. But but again, stuck with the juxtaposition of how, because there's so many options. One of the ways I was thinking of doing is I've actually raised the rents about $100 a unit successfully. And so maybe another 12 months from now, having it reassessed, take out a larger loan and use the difference in the capital to buy mm-hmm. another one.
Sure.
Or I actually own an awesome 100-year-old bungalow downtown of a Midwestern town, kind of like what you see off of HGTV, walkable to tons of stuff. It's got the porch swing on the front, all kinds of character inside that I know I could rent in a heartbeat if we wanted to leave, or we're actually thinking maybe VRBOing the bottom half mm-hmm. when we get these kids grown and out of the house. There's all kinds of options.
Yeah. That's the great thing with rentals. I mean, there's so many ways to do it. If you really want to do it, you can find a way. I mean, there's always a way to make it work.
Yeah. And I think what will guide the final decision will be our lifestyle. Which do we want to end up doing for where we live,
mm-hmm.
determining where will the rental be?
Right. Well, that's awesome. Well, Andrew, definitely keep us updated and let us know when you get your next place. And congratulations on taking action and getting the six unit building up and running.
Thank you. It was an awesome ride.
If this was your first time listening, we have new interviews with inspiring landlords every Tuesday. Make sure you subscribe on whatever podcast app you're listening to, and you'll get the show delivered to you automatically as soon as it comes out. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.